say you have nothing to disclose. Okay.
So while this is loading, I'll say I have nothing to disclose, except what you're going to hear next. It loaded the wrong one here.
Again, is that again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's just go down here. I think we got the hang of this now because of what happened. Double click on that, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Do I have to hit resume or anything? What? Oh, you did double click? Did you right click? Should I do resume? Did you hit resume at all? Yeah,
oh,
I got
there
it.
There we go.
All right.
Okay, this one really is me.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle Issels-Ardensen. I'm at the University of Illinois Chicago School of Public Health with an adjunct appointment in the College of Nursing, also at UIC. So today I'm talking about prenatal case management, and when I talk about this, this is one of those terms that gets used in a variety of ways. Like so many of our terms, gets ambiguous, but I'm specifically talking here about community-based, it's non-medical care, and it's really for high-risk pregnant women. And my vision when I talk about prenatal case management is really sort of the traditional public health nursing, doing home visiting kinds of things. And we'll see through this literature review, as Arden implied, each of us is presenting a chapter in her book that has to do with the evidence about this as an intervention. So there is some research about the effectiveness of prenatal case management, but when you really get careful, it's a little bit mixed. So for example, the most common model that has been implemented is the nurse family partnership model that was been studied by David Olds and his colleagues for almost 20 years now, and that really consists of home visiting by nurses for high-risk moms beginning during the prenatal period and continuing into their early childhood years. But if we get beyond the work by old, there's this inconsistency, as I mentioned earlier. And the question really here is, why? Why is there no unequivocal, this is a great intervention for improving pregnancy outcomes. So the research question here is, if we look across as a literature review, evidence-based question, is there any relationship between who provides the case management service, i.e. staff mix, meaning are these just nurses or other professionals? Standardization, to what extent do we have some protocol so that every place does the intervention the same? And integration, I'm going to talk about these. And are any of these related to prenatal case management effectiveness? So we did a literature review. Jamie Slaughter, a doctoral student, helped me with this. I've been studying prenatal case management for also about 20 years now, so I've got one of those file drawers full of literature. We did the formal published literature search, and we actually put out a query to the Title V directors through their listserv asking for any unpublished reports to get at that unpublished bias problem. So we included studies if they provided case management to women while they were pregnant, and we excluded any studies that started postpartum or that only focused on parenting the children, and as you might imagine, that's a huge body of literature. And I often get asked, why are you doing prenatal? I say, well, you can't do it all, and I'm just looking at pregnant women and their newborns. The report had to include some birth outcomes. A lot of the literature was just reports of here's what we did kind of thing without any outcomes. And there needed to be a sufficient description of what was truly the intervention that was provided during prenatal case management. And if I couldn't figure out what that case management consisted of, they were excluded. So they were excluded if they didn't have the interventions. Also, because I consider case management a term like primary care, for example. It's one of these service packages that you have to unbundle to find out what's going on. So if we look within prenatal case management, was there education, referrals, coordination, coaching, a variety of things. If none of that information was there, couldn't tell what was going on. We also didn't include them if they at least had an outcome for the mother and an outcome for the neonate. And there were a fair number of studies that only provided outcomes on behavioral outcomes, smoking, interconceptional, and so those, although they might have been nice, were excluded for this particular study. We did the usual abstracting the data with the study characteristics of the design, sample size, and of course, because this was a book about race ethnicity, we collected data about that, although I must admit I'm not presenting on that this morning, so my apologies. The footnote there is there was very, very, very little information about race ethnicity across the studies, and so it'd be hard to make a 20-minute presentation on so little data, although we built a whole chapter out of it. And then we did abstract the outcomes. We ended up using adequacy of prenatal care use, number of visits, whatever was reported, and then two birth outcomes, birth weight, gestational age, however that was reported. The statistics in terms of differences between groups, and then whatever information they gave about the actual prenatal case management program. So as I was mentioning earlier, these were the definitions we used in terms of whether or not it was integrated, meant whether or not the prenatal case management program was somehow integrated with existing prenatal care services, or whether it was a standalone program that they got referred to, that sort of thing. Standardization, really, we're looking to see whether or not in the reports there was any mention of whether or not there were protocols for what happened during those case management visits. Whether it was just the nurse went, or the nurse went, and at this gestational age they discussed these things, they needed to cover these kind of points, that sort of thing. Staff mix, who were the case managers, what were their degrees, of course, whether or not there was a risk assessment, and then I like using the NILT, which stands for Nursing Intervention in Lexicon and Taxonomy, that was developed by Sue Hughes and Linda Hughes and Sue Probe. And it's just seven interventions. They did a nice validity reliability on that. And because it's only seven interventions, it's easy to kind of do some gross glumping on actual interventions. So we ended up identifying seven meta-analyses. We reviewed those, commented on those in the book chapter, but they're not included in this presentation this morning. So we had 41 studies, 13 of which were randomized clinical trials, prospective of really good quality. There were a fair number of quasi-experimental and a few retrospective. And as you can see, the quality overall of the studies varied, although for the most part they were fairly good. And we used the criteria for each of the chapters. Arden provided the authors with a standardized tool to assess quality. So we all used the same criteria for judging quality. We, of those 41 studies, 25 we were not even able to determine at what point in gestational age they began the prenatal case management. 16 reported when in the pregnancy the women were enrolled in prenatal case management, and 12 of those were in the second trimester. So that means the other four were in the last trimester of pregnancy when they even started prenatal case management. And none of the studies reported enrolling women in their first trimester. And I really want to stress the importance of, if this service is being evaluated for effect on either use of prenatal care or for neonatal outcomes, if you think about starting a service mid-pregnancy, late pregnancy, what's the dosage? How much intensity, how many visits are there going to be? And I think that this aspect alone is underlooked at and may contribute to that. Why don't we see consistent effects? So in the studies, about 65% of those 41 actually had a positive, meaning a beneficial effect on birth weight. Some reported just birth weight, and some reported percent low birth weight. But we put those together. And two-thirds of those 41 studies also reported having a beneficial effect on preterm birth and gestation. And that is consistent with the other meta-analysis that reviewed. Now, given that the prenatal case management was by and large begun in mid-pregnancy, I think that's a pretty remarkable number of studies that found some positive effects. I went a little bit further, and Cooper, who has a nice book called Literature Synthesis, proposes that between sort of a narrative literature review and a true meta-analysis where you do some statistical work with the findings, that he lays out a way to do a vote count method by which you actually count how many studies had significant findings in what direction, that sort of thing. And I find this a very useful way to sort of middle ground between just narrative and a true meta-analysis. So we counted the number of positive and negative, equivocal and significant or not. Again, of the 41, 18 of the programs were standalone and standardized. And 10 of those, meaning 10 of those 18 that were the standalone, had significant positive effects, mostly on birth weight. Again, that's also the other way to think about that would be not all 41 reported on both gestational age and prenatal care use, et cetera. So I don't want to use the 41 as the denominator there. 15 studies had the prenatal case management was actually as an integral part of the prenatal care services, and just under half of those had positive significant outcomes in prenatal care use, which makes some sense, and also on the neonatal outcomes, but not as high quite as high a proportion. When we go to look at staff mix, by and large, the RN-only model is used. About 20% used layout reach workers only, and there's quite a mix. And interestingly, there were several reports where we couldn't tell who actually even provided the prenatal case management. Says something about reviewers, I think. But this is a summary across the staff mix and the birth outcomes. You'll notice that in the first column, prenatal care use, it's a little bit unclear whether or not staff mix might be related to significant increase in prenatal care utilization. But for birth weight and gestational age, if you look at interdisciplinary team and above, or if you alternatively look only at paraprofessionals, there's a far fewer significant and positive results on infants if it's only the layout reach worker as opposed to some constellation of a professional. And I think that that's the first time we've tried to sort of figure out some of these relationships between who and it's not just that they're licensed, but that those professionals come with a different kind of an ability to address issues. So in conclusion, I'd like to go just short and sweet here. It does look to me as though when there's a standardization, there's a better outcomes. It does look, although, again, the numbers are so small, we're a little bit reluctant to say absolutely. But at least the professional model seems to have more likely to result in positive and significant improvements for the neonatal. And again, this whole notion of dosage, that's sort of my new soapbox, that we really have to get much more fine-tuned about what we call an intervention. Prenatal case management is not an intervention, it's a service. And those who actually provide the service are doing interventions. And we don't know whether or not the nurses, maybe that model, it's an artifact of the nurses made more visits. Again, that was almost impossible to tell from any of the reports. The implications here in terms of practice? If someone from a health department or an agency said, well, what should I do? And I would say, first off, I think you need to have really clear standardized protocols, the way that, the Olds model does, in terms of at this stage in the pregnancy, these issues must be assessed and addressed, that sort of thing. Consistency across all of the providers within the case management. And we really need much more detailed information about frequency of visits, duration, et cetera, to get at that dosage. In terms of policy, if I were being asked, for example, by someone from Medicaid, Medicaid does reimburse in many instances for prenatal case management, what they might do, I'd say that we really need to have much stronger emphasis on attending to really the most vulnerable and looking at what providers really are most effective. And, of course, there's lots more research to do here in terms of, I would say, unpackaging case management and really what's going to be have the most effect for all women. And I just want to thank you and my co-authors. And this is the website for my national study on prenatal case management and a lot of prenatal case management resources there. Thank you.
Michelle, I just wanted to say I realized that in the program book, the moderator is listed as Joan Kennelly, and I'm Arden Handler, and myself and Joan Kennelly and Nadine Peacock, who's sitting here, are the three editors of this book that's going to come out next year. I should have said that earlier. And we picked interventions that we, even if, like Michelle said, she didn't deal with all the racial and ethnic disparity issues today, that affect women of color in particular, because these are interventions that are often used in high-risk, low-income color communities where women of color reside. Okay, so let's see here. To get to our next presentation. Oh, good. This is good. Our next